There are so many things in life that you have to compromise, especially because of budget, the clothes you buy, the food you buy, and healthcare should not be one of those things. Check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to, and prioritize your health. I use ZocDoc. I have a bunch of health issues. For example, my feet randomly hurting so bad that I cannot walk anywhere. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Go to ZocDoc.com/BCC and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/BCC. ZocDoc.com/BCC. This episode is sponsored by Liquid IV. I seriously use Liquid IV all the time. It just makes me feel so much better, like I'm doing something good for my body. Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code BCC at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code BCC at liquidiv.com.
Welcome to the chain.
We're your hosts. I'm Kendall Landreth.
And I'm Sarah Schauer. And this is the BCC Club, where each week we go down an internet rabbit hole. I do have a mint in my mouth, so I apologize. Sorry. But what are we talking about this week, Kendall?
Today we're talking about rage bait. Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, I'm so sorry if that was loud.
Sarah, what's rage bait?
Rage bait is internet slang. It refers to a manipulation tactic to create outrage with the goal of increasing internet traffic. It's like how you'll see people post like a recipe video, but they'll like put a Barbie doll in,
yeah,
the lasagna, and they won't address it. And then everyone in the comments is like, hold up, you just cooked Barbie. But like it'll like start to like piss you off, and it's meant to, because the more you comment, the more engagement they get. The more you stitch it, or like the more you repost it to be like, what the hell is wrong with them? The more engagement they get.
Yeah, and so now people will post, because I always thought those were so funny, because the comments are so unassuming. They'll be like, I'm sorry, guys. Did anyone notice the Barbie? And it's like, obviously someone noticed that. But now people will straight up just make videos where they're like, here's my hot take. And it's something like deeply offensive. And then they get like so many views. Like there was a girl recently, I don't know if this is rage bait, and I half watched this video, but she was like, does anyone else think the cast of SNL, the women are so ugly?
That wasn't, she was being genuine.
I think she was being genuine, but it went like mega viral because all the comments were like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah. I think it's because, okay, so a lot of people don't genuinely think women are funny, and, you know what, I actually can't. Well, how was your week? I'll get into it.
What about unfunny women reminded you to ask me of my week?
No, oh, God. Oh, no, I thought of SNL, and you're going to be on it.
On it, right, 100%. No, my week was good.
Yeah.
What did I do this week? I literally just been reading all week. I know I told you that, but
I know how I feel when I've been reading all week.
I know, like, but I was thinking about this in the car because I was like, I can't wait to tell Sarah that I read a book. And then I was like, Sarah's reading like really educational stuff, and I'm literally just reading lesbian romances, but they're incredible. Although the one I just read, the big trilogy I'm reading, is like a lesbian novel, technically speaking, and that there are two women who are like, are we going to date? They haven't kissed yet. Well, they kissed one time, but it was like not. They like kissed and then they like fully were like goodbye.
Yeah.
They are like never together during the whole series. So if you need anything, if you're interest-based like me and need a lesbian romance to push you through a book, this will really do it. Because there's pretty much no lesbian romance at all. But the whole time you're like, is there about to be? And there never is. But maybe there could be. And that is enough to make you really want to read it.
Yeah. And I think any reading that has to do with lesbians is educational.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what is that? Your, like, neural plasticity? Mm-hmm. Like, your just brain is getting, like, more wrinkly and sexy.
Wow, wait, why?
Yeah, I mean, you're just, like, some developmental psychologist is going to be like, okay, so let me take it from here.
Yeah. But when you read?
Yeah, you're, I mean, that's why I read more like nonfiction stuff, but that's because I have a weird relationship with fiction. I do like fiction books. I just like, I really want to learn because I feel like, you know, I just didn't feel smart in school. And so now I'm like, I'm not being graded. I can learn how I want to.
Exactly. I think that's incredible. And I totally relate to that. I feel like the fantasy novels feel like you're learning, even though you're absolutely not. Well, you're learning something, but like it feels like you're learning history because they always create these like worlds. Like the first like 6 pages of this book I just read is like the history of this world.
Yeah.
But it's like fake history. It's like absolutely not real and didn't happen. But also I think in another way it challenges your brain because there's a lot of like, okay, well, what is this book? I feel like most fantasy books, it's like, what is this really about,
though? Yeah.
And there's always like an undertone of like, this is about America stealing land from people mostly, or
no,
like
yeah.
this is about America doing this shitty thing, or this is about whatever. And so I feel like I'm always like, oh, what is this metaphorically talking about?
Yeah, no, I mean, you can still learn a whole lot from fiction because, like, yeah, the author is trying to communicate some central like idea.
Yeah,
and I just am so literal sometimes, almost to a fault.
Yeah,
that like I kind of when I like reading researchers stuff, they're like, this is what this means.
Yeah,
and that's the relaxing part, you know, because I do, and I love like fantasy or escaping into a world like sometimes, but like sometimes if you know how when you will watch a movie and you're like, that's the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then someone is like, that was dog shit.
That's every time I like a movie.
That's what I'm scared of with like reading fiction, where I was like, I was really enjoyable. And someone's like, that author literally runs over dogs with their car. And you saw that theme throughout the entire book. And I'd be like, oh my God, I'm supporting this?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's me anytime I see a movie. Like, my favorite movies are, like, The Lost City.
Yeah.
Which I do think is a good movie.
Is
Spy.
It Atlantis?
Kind of. It's with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. It's not really about Atlantis. It's
okay.
Basically, she's an author, and she writes about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and she writes about this, like, hidden place, and then they're like, that's real, and you know all this history somehow. Tale as old as time, really. Mm-hmm. They've done many movies about that. And then Spy with Melissa McCarthy, which is also an incredible movie. But recently, I saw 2 movies. Last year, I saw Jungle Cruise. And
okay.
I said it was my favorite movie of the year.
Uh-huh.
People thought that was embarrassing. And then I saw Gran Turismo. Did you see that?
No.
It's about a bunch of teenage boys who play video games. And then they play car video games.
Yeah.
And then they do like this experiment where they're like, let's take one of these and have them do like real professional race car driving.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give spoilers, but he's pretty good.
It seems like you have a theme for your favorite movies. It's where like fantasy comes to life.
Yeah. I guess that is true.
Yeah.
And I literally, you know, this is like so embarrassing. Actually, it's not embarrassing. It's cool.
Okay.
I found, it's actually embarrassing because I can't even say it. I found out about adult LARP camps.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait, no, that's not embarrassing because I went to Medieval Times and I was like, they're on to something.
I never knew about it. And then I have a friend, Brendan Lee Mulligan, who does like, do you know him? He does like.
I'm obsessed with him, yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
He's a friend of mine and he's great, but he's very into all that stuff. And I've always just been like, I don't really know what you're talking about with that stuff. But he was telling me about LARP camps.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, this, because I was telling him that I was like, well, when I was younger, I really had a hard time transitioning from being a child to being a teenager because I loved playing pretend so much. Like, it was my favorite thing. And I don't even think it was just because I was young. I think I just specifically loved playing pretend. And so then all my friends started like sexting people. And I was like, can we go outside and pretend we're in the Hunger Games, please? Like, I was like 14 years old. And I think I just like slowly never had anyone to play pretend with. But I like never lost the want to do it.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, they have really expensive ones where you like pay to go basically like live in a castle in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like an old castle. And it's like very intense and fun. And I was like, I want to do that.
You should do that.
It sounds so fun. I feel like it would really like heal me in a lot of ways too.
Yeah.
And also just be, but I always, that's bad. Sometimes I'm like, what type of people are going to be there? You know what I mean? Where you're like, yeah, it could be fun. Or I could get there and be like, this is not my crowd.
Yeah. Well, I think it's right to assume that the people that you meet there are going to be incredibly polarizing. But I mean, it's going to be an incredibly, if you do it, like a cool experience. I love when adults, engage their childlike sense of wonder.
Yeah.
You were talking about, like, you wanted to play pretend. I distinctly remember one time writing in my diary, there's 2 of these girls named Caitlin and they were my best friends and they both got boobs at the same time and I didn't. And they became super obsessed with boys and I was like, why can't we play with Barbies?
Yeah.
And it like, so I know, but yeah.
And it's so sad because you're like, oh, and like, I just was like, oh, I never really grew out of it. I just kind of didn't have anyone to do it with anymore.
Yeah.
And I think it would be very freeing as an adult because I think the only thing holding me back from getting into that would be like embarrassment, which like I feel like I don't feel embarrassment too much in my life. Like I don't feel like an embarrassed person, but I'm like, yeah, it would be really embarrassing as an adult to like pretend I was a princess. I'm assuming I was the princess at the SARP camp, which maybe is a big, you probably don't get to do that your first year, but I would assume I'd be cast as the princess. But I'm like, I think it would be really good to push myself to be like, this is not embarrassing. Especially because everyone around you is doing the same thing.
Wait, you should be the princess. I'd be so pissed if I paid thousands of dollars to go to Ireland and I was the chambermaid.
Yeah, they're like, you just clean the whole time.
Yeah, you throw the crap out the windows. I'm like, are you freaking kidding? And like, you should do that. Can I pitch a sketch idea to you?
Yeah.
You should do like a D&D person who got way too into the characterization of the character. Like you have to take turns.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I don't know, something about you like getting way too into the character.
Yeah.
And then someone is like, can move on. Stop. Someone, we are literally like, stop.
Have you played D&D?
No, but
I've never played.
I've watched people play it, and I can appreciate anyone who can like immerse themselves like that. But yeah. I get lost with like Monopoly, so it's hard. Yeah.
You get to have a hard time staying in character during Monopoly.
Yeah, I have
to
be
once
this,
you're in jail, you're like into it. And
I know I have to be this like tyrant, and I'm like, no, you can have go to jail. Like it's so hard sending people to jail.
But how are you?
I'm good. I did a lot of reading too. I'm about to finish up Between Us, How Cultures Create Emotions by Batya Mesquita.
Between Us?
Between Us.
Is this what it's called?
Yes.
I thought you were like, Between Us. I was like, we're on a podcast.
Between Us. Oh, no. The book is called Between Us, How Cultures Create Emotions by Batya Mesquita, who is an Egyptian-Dutch woman. And she's a researcher. And she's talking about how emotions are not the same in other cultures. Because we're an individualistic culture where we assume that our emotions only happen to us.
Yeah.
But in collectivist cultures, emotions happen between people.
Oh.
And so emotions are like directional. And so like where we assume that like only we are, therapists always say you can't make someone feel a certain way. That is true to an extent. But, like, it becomes less true the closer the person is to you.
Yeah.
And so, like, why emotions are not the same in, like, individualistic versus collectivist culture is because a lot of people physically can't imagine how emotions are shared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But the thing is when you think about it, like, what has made you feel, like, emotional recently? Like, someone did something.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, the state of, like, calm. And just being like at peace, but then most emotions are motivated by someone.
Yeah.
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 So in the other collectivist cultures, they're like, it's shared.
That's so interesting. I think that's really, yeah, I feel like we are very individualistic, especially with around the discussion of like mental health and all of that, which like I guess makes sense, but it is very like, well, I'm sad because I'm sad.
Yeah.
Or I'm just sad in general. I'm anxious in general. I'm like a happy person,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't really make sense if you're like, I'm a happy person. It's like, well, okay, but what if like your family dies?
Yeah.
Such the worst person to talk to if you're positive. Like, no, okay, yeah. But what if your family was dead? And it's like, well, so you're not a happy person, but you could be, but it's like happy is an emotion. That's so interesting. I don't know. But I would say that. Like, I'd be like, I'm generally a happy person.
Yeah.
But I think what I probably mean is like positive.
Yeah.
Or like, not, I don't know. So that's interesting.
She discusses that in the book. And it's like, people also, people are like, how can my emotions be shared when it's happening in my body? That's feelings. That's not emotion.
Right.
And so like the emotions are half feelings, half socialization. And so like a lot of autistic ADHD people, you miss a lot of socialization. So that's why we end up so confused about what our emotions are or what other people's, because we've missed almost half of it.
Right.
You know, so we're like still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's really interesting because like literally there are some emotions in the U.S. that do not exist. There are general feelings that exist, but the words for them or the phrases don't exist in other cultures.
I'd heard that one time, like when I was in fifth grade. So don't quote me on this. But in fifth grade, I'd heard a fact from another fifth grader probably.
Yeah.
Where they were like, there's this country where they don't have the word something. I can't remember what it was, but it was like either like angry or something like that. They just like don't have that word in their vocabulary, and it like drastically changes the way people are.
Yeah. Well, there's
so interesting.
What the researcher was talking about, what's so hard about translating collectivist culture emotions is that since the researchers will ask, how intense do you feel this emotion? And so the question doesn't make sense because it's like, how there are two people here. Like, so I would be answering half the question. How intense do I feel this shared emotion?
Yeah.
Like, what about them? You know? And so it's like, so a lot of times they won't even say like, oh, I'm happy or I'm sad. They'll be like, they'll describe like, we're laughing. And it, so it's like a together thing that indicates happiness or like joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's also cool because some cultures don't value happiness.
Sure. That's, I feel like that makes total sense to me. Would like, you like to live in a place like that? Do you feel like?
Well, the thing is most of the time, it depends. If like, so I was reading about Japanese, they are a collectivist culture and they value calm happiness.
Yeah.
And Americans value excited happiness. And so like Japanese people would rather, when they're happy, they are more drawn to people with like softer, like smaller smiles. Like someone who's excited is almost...
scary.
Yes. And so I think I would like it. It's hard to fully, but yeah, I think I wouldn't mind exploring other cultures' emotions, but I feel very American. I'm sorry. But I mean, the thing is the autism, I'm already having a hard time with the American emotions. That's why I picked up the book.
Yeah.
So like the idea of like, okay, now there's another dimension and I'm like, yeah.
Hello, everyone. It's Kendall, and I'm so excited today to share with you that today's episode is sponsored by ZocDoc. I love ZocDoc. We know it to be true. There are so many things in life that you have to compromise, especially because of budget, the clothes you buy, the food you buy, and healthcare should not be one of those things. No matter your budget, you should always be getting good care when it comes to your health. Check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to, and prioritize your health. I use ZocDoc. I have a bunch of health issues, and it is so nice when a new one arises. For example, my feet randomly hurting so bad that I cannot walk anywhere. I don't know an orthopedic doctor, so it's great to go on ZocDoc and make sure that I'm finding one that has a bunch of really good reviews from people who have used them before. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Go to ZocDoc.com/BCC and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/BCC. ZocDoc.com/BCC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Speaking of emotions, let's get angry.
Rage bait. We're talking all about rage bait, which we explained what it was.
Yeah.
It's to get more views. I mean, that's used, especially if you're a content creator, that's used in many different ways to bait people into commenting, even down to like comment down below what you think, you know, like encouraging people to comment and have traction on your video. But people are realizing that if they can make people angry, that's the most viral video they will have, which is so true. So people have found that they will post a video and it gets a lot of angry comments and it makes their video go viral. So now people are purposefully doing it. It makes it very confusing on the internet to know what people are actually feeling or they're just saying something to make someone angry.
What I'm really hoping with this is I want a mental health professional who's on influencer to take this discussion over. Is rage bait, could it be considered part of like a histrionic personality disorder? Histrionic is...
It's just the way you knew to explain it when I looked at you and I was like, I don't know what that means.
Okay, so cluster B personality disorders are antisocial, which you usually think of as like sociopaths and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You have borderline personality disorder, you have narcissistic personality disorder, and then they often forgot about histrionic personality disorder, which is incredibly closely related to narcissistic personality disorder. However, their how they perceive attention and how they get attention is different. Usually narcissists try to maintain a good reputation by any means necessary. Histrionic personality disorder, you don't care how you get the attention.
Uh-huh.
And so like what I
wow, I this did is really
Are you actually being genuine? Like, you're curious?
No. Oh, my God. I'm being so curious.
You said, wow.
No, I mean, I'm, like, thinking, because I've had that with people before where I'm, like, not many people, but I've been, like, yeah. I don't understand this because you are, like, textbook, like, a narcissist, like, a true yeah. narcissist, but everyone hates you. How have you done this? Because isn't a narcissist yeah. supposed to be so likable? But, like, you're the least likable person. You're so, like, don't care what anyone thinks. Like, genuinely, like, don't take care of yourself, like all of those things, and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah,
and so I guess it's that.
Yeah, and so that's very closely related to narcissistic personalities, but they don't care. If they get attention, it's by any means necessary. And so why I think it rage bait, you attention by any means necessary, because it's not good. And where I think I really want a mental health professional to discuss this with male comedians who like are
wow,
like
yeah.
transphobic or like, you know, they're like sexist and they don't, it's almost like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
It's like, and so I was reading this book, When Narcissism Comes to Church, and it's a therapist talking about histrionic personality disorder. He was like, talking about how narcissism shows up in a lot of church leaders who are like mega church people. And so I was like, okay, so these are God's entertainers, quote unquote. What about real like entertainment, yeah. like entertainers who could have that? But also I don't want to diagnose, but I think it's, I would like to see someone else take this and be, because
yeah.
histrionic personality disorder is the one you'd never hear about.
Yeah, I've never heard that word,
yeah.
but I feel like I've said aloud, like, I don't understand because this person's so not charming or any of those good
yeah.
qualities. They're just an asshole and a narcissist.
And the thing is like hysterical, which is part of histrionic, is usually applied to women. But when I think about people who are histrionic, it's usually men.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
Besides Pearl, I don't know any like.
Do you think she's that?
I can't. Now that
not to diagnose, I know, but
yeah.
like to just like if you were to guess,
I think honestly at this point it is reckless ignorance, and it's purposeful, and I think there's some yeah there's something wrong with her.
Very sad, honestly.
Yeah. So what is rage farming?
What did you say?
Rage farming.
I think you said rage farting, and I said I don't know, but
farting.
I can't wait
yeah.
to find out. Rage farming, which has been cited since at least January 2022, is an offshoot of rage baiting, where the outrage of the person being provoked is farmed or manipulated into engagement by rage seeding that helps amplify the message of the original content creator. Basically, just more specifically targeted rage baiting to amplify the original user's voice. It has also been used as a political tactic at the expense of one's opponent.
I've fallen victim to some rage farming before. There was this couple that was like getting absolutely shredded on TikTok of where they cut off the bottom of their shoes because they wanted to be like all natural. But the thing is they normally would wear shoes. They were just doing that to like, and I like stitched it and I was like, and then people were like, they're rage farming. And I was like, delete.
Yeah. Wow, that's so interesting. I've never even heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, what was their end goal? What were they trying to get?
They just wanted more engagement.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so then what's the difference between that and rage baiting?
Rage baiting, well, rage baiting is that, like, that's the rage, you do something infuriating that's, like, you don't actually do that.
Right.
Or, like, you don't actually believe what you're saying. The goal is to get fame by any means necessary.
Yeah. Okay. Why do people post rage bait? The motivation for rage baits are varied, but broadly fall into three categories: interaction, impressions, monetization. Content has always been a source of revenue: newspapers, magazines, TV, movies, and now social media. These are all things that can themselves be monetized or funnel you towards something which can be monetized or leveraged in some way for personal gain. Commercials lead to purchasing of products. Political ads lead to election victories, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I always think that's funny. I know that's true. But whenever I see like a ad for Joe Biden, and I know swing states exist, I know people who don't know who they're going to vote for exist, that always feels insane to me given our political climate.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, it is so funny to me, the thought of watching a commercial of Joe Biden or Donald Trump and being like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
I forgot about him. That'll make me vote for him in the booth. I'm like,
yeah.
What? Like, I would even understand it on like a local, because I know there is truth to like, well, just if you know them, like if you remember them from a commercial, it'll like
yeah.
make you vote for them because you remembered them and there's like whatever. But I'm like, who at this point doesn't know who Joe Biden or Donald Trump is?
Yeah, I think it's just attack ads are like essential to get low, to get non-emotionally intelligent people on your side.
Yeah.
Because if you're running for office and your entire thing is what someone else can or cannot do.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear what you're like doing, but you're like right. A lot of people can be easily enraged. So they're going to get pissed and then vote for.
That's wild to me. That's absolutely wild to me. Rage bait works by triggering a base emotion of anger, which for a lot of people tends to get people worked up and feeling a need to act brashly and immediately. You know the rage bait that I wanted to talk to you about?
Yes.
It's your content. I'm just kidding. It's your videos. They're upsetting me.
I need to. I try to approach with compassion. So if it is infuriating, can you please give me feedback? Okay.
Yeah. That would be so insane if I called you. I was like, I don't know. Like, your videos, there's nothing wrong, but they're like making me mad. Like, really mad. No, I'm just kidding. There's this woman. I think I talked to you a little bit about her before. I think her name's Alex. She posts videos and she went very viral because she was called the Donut Mom. Have I talked to you about her?
No.
Have you seen?
Well, maybe.
She went viral because she was like making my, you know, those videos where she sets the cameras up and she's like making lunch for my 2-year-old.
Yeah.
But she's like cutting up a Little Debbie's donut and then like putting a side of like marshmallow. Like, it's like very bad for her child.
Yeah.
And she's like a 2-year-old. Maybe at the time it was like 1.5. She's like very young. And she's just feeding her like so badly and no nutrition and it's just not good and so much sugar and all processed, whatever. So people got really upset with her and they were calling her Donut Mom and it sparked this whole controversy because then there were other moms being like, don't mom shame her. She's relatable. And it's like, that's crazy. Like, there's a balance. Like, you don't need to give your 2-year-old donut. It's also like different if you're going through a Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru on a busy morning and you get a donut for your 2-year-old. Who fucking cares? That's fine, obviously. But if you have time and you're cutting up a donut and being like, I'm going to serve this so neat and cute and film a TikTok about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, people were very upset. And there was another side that was like defending her and whatever. And so she went viral and has a whole account that is her making her kids lunch. And every day it is bad. And every single day she gets hate for it. And she did one the other week that was like snack time with my 2-year-old. And she was like, I went to wherever and I got these marshmallows. And she fills a whole bowl that is like the size of a popcorn bowl filled with marshmallows and like gives it to her 2-year-old, which I'm like, there's no fucking way she did that. That's like, that is wild. Even if you're like, I don't care about sugar, like, why would you give her that much? There's no way she's gonna eat that. And so a lot of people are like, she's rage baiting.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know. I can't tell if she's rage baiting. I think there are parents who feed their kids like that. There was also drama because then she was in a polyamorous relationship, which was a bummer because it then sparked, people were like, this is why polyamory is bad. And I was like, this is so deeply unrelated to polyamory.
Yeah.
But people were like very, well, so then she was in a polyamorous relationship, but then they all broke up and now she's single. And anyway, she just feeds her kids really badly. And she now has like 500,000 followers because she feeds her kids so badly.
Uh-huh.
And she like talks about how she used to like have no money and now she has all this money and she buys, like, she'll do these hauls that's like my $2,000 GameStop haul.
Yeah.
Because she has all this TikTok money now and it is interesting. So I just didn't know if you'd heard about her.
I haven't, but can I circle back to what I talked about in the beginning? Yeah. So we're an individualistic, emotional society and the most common example of a collectivist emotional relationship is between mom and child. And so the amount of people that were mad because they were either thinking of the child or the mom, they could not consider the emotion between them.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people can't understand collectivist cultures.
That's so interesting. So do you feel like someone was either putting themselves in the shoes of the mom or in the shoes of the child? Like,
In either, because most of us, I mean, the rage bait side, aside, if this was a mom who like genuinely didn't have money or something to like and needed to feed their kid and this is what was available to her.
Yeah.
We would have been like, oh, she's trying to, the kid needs to eat. The mom cannot afford better food. And we would see it as like, oh, she's building, this is like a strong emotional bond.
Yeah.
But since we know it's to piss us off, and also we're an individualistic culture, we're going to go defend the kid or the mom, and we're not going to look at them as a duo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you look at that situation like from a non-individualistic standpoint?
You would see two people trying to maintain, like, their shared emotion, which is nurturing.
And you think she's doing, like... But do you think there'd be a negative way to look at it in a not individualistic way? You know what I mean?
I mean, there would be, but it really depends on what culture I would have to like switch into. Because the author talked about Japan, Samoa, Egypt, Dutch, like the Dutch. So I'd have to. The Dutch are an individualist culture. I would think where it would become negative is if the mom or the son did something bad.
I see.
Like the son threw the food off the table, because the priority is to maintain the relationship.
I see.
And someone be nurturing. So if someone does, like if one of the two does something to each other that's genuinely harmful, they would not be creating the perfect relationship.
Right. But do you think, but would you think that like the feeding of that food is genuinely harmful?
I think that since we know the reason behind it, yes. And so like that's a majority of like where our...
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But like if we didn't know this woman and we had no context and we saw it and our emotion, like we got immediately pissed at a mom feeding a son a donut and like, you know, their house appears to be low income. I think we would extend more, like if we were from a collectivist culture, we'd be like, they're, you know,
doing their best.
Yes, they are.
100%. Yeah, because I think it's such a complicated, and it's the discourse on it is always so, people like we've talked about before are so black and white.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, this woman can have bad traits while also like, you don't need to come for, it's like people were so mad because she's feeding her kids such bad food, which I do think there is truth to like people not knowing how uneducated people can be in some parts of the United States.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I think, it's like she would give her kid a Dole fruit cup and be like, what do you mean I'm not feeding him healthy food? And it's like, I know that that is not healthy food because that is like, has nutrition, which there's like truth to that, but it is like, so high in sugar and like so it's like it's so processed and whatever, but I am like, people do not understand that. Like some people are like, that's a fruit, this is a vegetable, it says vegetable fruit roll up, or like it's like a veggie whatever, but they're like, that's a vegetable, or like veggie puffs I know are a very similar thing where people are like, that's a vegetable, and it's like, that's not necessarily a vegetable, but like there are people that don't know.
Yeah.
And so then she's getting hate for this, which I'm like, okay, but then she does this haul that's like $2,000 haul from wherever, and she talked about how she got herself like a video game, and people are like, oh, you're so poor but you can afford a video game, things that it's like, well, that's a very problematic take.
Well, I think,
you know, and it's like, you don't just have to hate on her for every, like she can be bad in one way and not, you don't have to be, it's just so frustrating when things become about something else where it's like, when I found out she was polyamorous, I was like, here we fucking go, now it's all gonna be about that, even though like there is like, I think a side of this where it's like, yes, she is maybe not, this is like not great. Like the way she's feeding her kids is pretty upsetting and not good. And like a bowl of marshmallows is not a good dinner. And like if she's able to do, maybe she doesn't know that's bad, but hopefully she kind of starts to understand maybe it is.
Yeah.
That has like nothing to do with her being polyamorous. It has nothing to do with if she has no, like, it, what she deserves as a person who is low income, like none of that is related. So I always get so frustrated on the internet with stuff like that.
Yeah, but I also think we are existing in an individualistic culture, and I'm assuming she's American.
Yeah.
So I think we could judge her on an individual level.
Yeah.
So I'm saying from a collectivist culture, they may see something vastly different when they watch the video. But since she was also socialized in an individualistic culture, and we know that she does have the capability to afford better foods.
Yeah.
I think we're in the clear. I think when she first started, people needed to have more nuance. But now that you can notice that someone is getting nicer things and be like, all right, so
step it up.
Food is on. There we go.
Well, it's wild, too, because I'm like, there are some things that are not. I think food is such a problem in America, obviously. Like, it is so expensive to eat healthy, like 100%. But at the same time, there's a difference between like, well, like, I can't afford a ton of stuff. So, like, for breakfast, my kid has this, like, sugary oatmeal or cereal or whatever. Versus, like, you don't have to give your kid a donut every day for breakfast.
Yeah.
Like not, or, like, four donuts. I think that was also the problem. It's, like, the amount of it. It was, like.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, to me, it came from such a clear lack of education. Like, this woman did not. Because then you could tell in videos later, which is why I was, like, maybe this isn't rage bait, which makes this even worse.
Yeah.
Is that she, you could feel her trying to, like. She's reading all these comments that's like, you should have your kid taken away. And she clearly was like, oh, shoot, like, I'm doing bad. So then she tried to make a healthy dinner. And watching that was really upsetting. Because her trying, like, at her 100% best to make a healthy meal and literally be unable to do it, like, not know how to put together a healthy meal, even if she tried, was very sad.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If you know me, you know I am constantly dehydrated, which usually during the winter is not that dangerous. I seem to be okay usually, but when summer comes and I'm going to the beach and I'm swimming and I'm walking outdoors and it's hot and I'm sweating, it becomes very concerning, the little amount of water I drink. And that is why I really lean on Liquid IV to hydrate me. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. I seriously use Liquid IV all the time. It just makes me feel so much better, like I'm doing something good for my body. I am always running late in the morning, and I always manage to still put Liquid IV in my water because it's so fast, and I love how convenient it is. Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code BCC at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code BCC at liquidiv.com. This episode is sponsored by Lash Paradise Mascara from L'Oreal Paris. I am not a person who ever wears makeup. If you watch the podcast, you can tell I do not wear makeup. I like to keep my morning routine as simple as possible, but every single day I always wear mascara, truly every single day. And so I really need my mascara to do a lot of the heavy lifting on making me look put together, and that's why I love Lash Paradise. It gives so much volume and length. It's perfect for a done-up eye look, but also, just like me, you can wear it just for a casual day to the podcast recording studio. The intense volume and length of Lash Paradise gives you luxe-level lashes, and the fluffy bristle brush gives you fuller-looking lashes instantly. I am absolutely obsessed with it. I think it looks so good. You can drop your falsies. I wore false eyelashes twice in my life, and it was the worst thing I've ever done. So I'm always looking for an alternative. Lash Paradise Mascara gives you all the drama for your lashes that you could ever want. Order Lash Paradise now on Amazon.
Okay, so I don't know her like relationship with food, but if you're saying there's an excess of donuts, maybe there's a moderation problem, and I can understand having a moderation problem. And so if anyone actually genuinely cared about this woman, you would stitch her and you would cook something and show her how to do it.
Yeah.
Don't make any sort of accusatory things, but like if she genuinely doesn't know and you actually care about her and this kid,
yeah,
regardless of, just stitch it with actual recipes,
yeah,
that you think would fit into her budget without making any assumptions.
Right. Yeah, but I'm just like amazed. I'm like, wow, because if I was getting that much hate on the internet, I would leave the internet.
Yeah.
I'm a comedian, so it's a little different. So I guess I wouldn't, because it's my job. But if I was just like a normal person who started posting videos and then was like, oh, I'm viral for being she's viral for being a bad mom. It's like why she became so famous. I'm not saying that she is a bad mom, but like that is what people think. I would be like, oh, actually, I don't want to be on the internet.
Yeah.
She continues to post every single day. And all the comments are just hateful, hateful, hateful comments of like just the meanest stuff you could think. Some valid, I think. Some not valid, whatever. Some just nice criticism being like, hey, girl, this is insane.
Yeah.
And she continues to post. So that makes me be like, something is off. Like, something is not well there, because why are you so comfortable? Why do you need this so bad? And I think it is this, like, attention. She needs attention. And she did one time post a sound. What was that audio that was like, if you could go back in time and it was like, something about how famous she is, being like, I forget what the sound was. It went viral, basically like, you're viral for everyone hating you. Would you take it back if you could? And she was like, no. And it was like a viral sound.
Oh.
And she did that. And I was like, so now she thinks she's famous, which is insane. Because it's like, when you're on TikTok and you have like that many followers, but no followers anywhere else, and you're famous for being hated, that's not like have
longevity.
That's not a good
place. Yeah.
It's not going to be like you're going to be on the VMA red carpets interviewing people. So anyways, she's just a rage bait case that I always thought was interesting because I don't know if it's rage bait, but it feels like it fully, either way, it is proof that it totally works. If you make people mad, you can give yourself a full career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the issue with people who have consumption problems, is that you want the good feeling right now, which suggests you probably don't plan for the long term. So, like, they don't realize there's no longevity to it. And I say that as an alcoholic. All right, so there is, you know, we're going to talk about, like, more, like, rage bait stuff. Sometimes you'll see a YouTube thumbnail covering a topic that makes you angry. You click to watch it. You see a newspaper headline which starts to trigger you, and you buy it to find out more and satisfy this building fire. Yeah, because, like, our emotions are brains are so shot. Like, at this point, we need something genuinely, like, offensive or... What the hell to, like, register?
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really bad. Mm-hmm. I've talked about this with true crime
before.
Where I, like, fully stopped watching. I, like, literally stopped watching true crime. And I know there's a lot of, like, ethical things people say about true crime. But, you know, the reality is it's hugely popular. Yeah. And I have seen documentaries about true crime. And I literally stopped watching because I'm like, this is becoming too... I'm, like, worried how this is affecting my brain. Because you see... these documentaries that are so, it feels like they were written because they are so, like, scary, stressful. We know what's going on. And then there's a twist in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? That's wild. But this is a real person's life. But that is, like, how you would write a movie.
Yeah.
Like, The Staircase was like that. Or there was that one documentary about, I can't remember the name, but it was like, we thought one person was going to be murdered and then this person was murdered. And it was like, whoa. And the Chris Watts case was very, they're all like so insane that you can't even believe it. And so your standard for what is an interesting true crime documentary naturally becomes so nuts that it does make you forget these are like people.
Yeah.
And I remember one time watching a true crime documentary, I think it was on 2020 or something. And of course I'm very sad. Like, of course I'm like, this is sad, but I'm also like, on my walking desk treadmill and doing work. So I'm like, you know, it's unfortunate. That's the society we live in. But yes, I'm listening to this person who's sadly passed away. And I'm literally like, with my Stanley Cup, whatever. And I remember being like, it ended. And I was like, oh, that's it. That was kind of boring. And I was like, that's crazy. this is a person's life. Like, I was kind of like, where's the twist? Like, where's the side character? Like, there was no cheating scandal. Like, what's going on? Like, that was just kind of a boring murder. And I was like, I think I need to take a break from true crime. But your brain just, like, needs to be so interested at all times.
I am. You know what's... this is, I don't know if this is weird. And this is not me being like, I'm different. Like, murder and, like, you know, all the bad crimes, like, all crime is usually bad, but, like, those don't scare me the most. You know what scares me the most? Stalkers.
Ooh, yeah, scary, because also it could easily happen to either one of us.
Yeah, and the idea of, like, someone, okay, so also I have a history of being avoidantly attached, so the idea of someone who's not getting the hint and just follow and wants to connect with me all the time. I'm sorry. And you're like, that you could be killed. And I'm like, but following me.
Scary. I mean, I always, anytime I have a weird interaction with a person, I think about them for the forever, which is not what a stalker needs to hear, probably.
No, they're I listening, think about
they're like,
you.
Thank God. Oh. But I always am like, what was that? Like, so I'll tell you, I was at Barnes & Noble the other day, hashtag reader. And I was... I had placed an order for my books and I was picking them up and I kind of like looked out of the corner of my eye and there was a man standing and I don't know how else to describe it besides like a horror movie, personal horror movie.
Yeah.
Like his face was down and his eyes were looking up at me.
Kubrick stare.
Very scary.
Yeah.
And I kind of like looked and I turned and obviously I'm like, this person is unwell. Like I feel bad. Not like, what's going on? But I was like, ugh. And then he like took a step forward, which scared me. So I kind of like took a step to the side and then he was like, I don't know who you are, but get the fuck away from me. And he said it in kind of a really scary voice. So he obviously, I don't know, very, really freaked me out. And not because like that interaction really freaked me out. Like obviously logically I understand what that interaction was. Like this man is unwell and probably does not, he's probably seeing something else or like he thinks I'm someone else. I don't know. But it's like around my house. And I was like, now, and I walk a lot. I have a very, this is like the worst thing to say publicly. Yeah. I'm like, I have a really clear routine. I go here and then go here. But I was just like, this man is like around. And obviously it's not even this man specifically. I think it just always freaks me out where I'm like, is he like, what if he like now is like obsessed with me or something?
Oh, yeah.
Or like thinks that I did something to him that I obviously didn't do. And now it's just scary. But so I think you're right, because you like don't know. It feels like if I was murdered, just like snap of the fingers, done. I'd be like, well, I know what's going on. I'm being murdered.
Yeah.
But the thought of like you're living your day-to-day life for years and years and years, and the whole time someone is like planning something, that really freaks me out.
It's like, terrifying.
At Barnes & Noble's, I was like, obviously I didn't do anything to this man. I've never met this man in my life. But he clearly thinks I have done something, because he's like, get the fuck away from me. I'm like, I literally have never been close. You are, I'm checking out and you're walking up to me. So obviously I have, you get the fuck away from me. But I am like, this man, there's no logic here. Like, this man thinks I am someone else, or thinks I'm me, but thinks I've done something I clearly haven't done. And that is like so scary. And I think especially being in the entertainment industry, it is so scary. Whereas like sometimes I'm like, oh, I love living in an apartment building. But I was saying to my partner the other day, I was like, I soon want to move into like a house where there's such high level security.
Yeah.
You literally, because it's scary. I mean, even sometimes like I'll be walking my dog and someone will come up to me and be like, oh my God, I love your videos and I love your dog. Like, can I get a photo with your dog? Because she's in my videos.
Oh,
and then I have to like walk into my house and be like, bye. It's like, that person knows where I live now, which obviously that person is probably so sweet and wonderful. Like, I don't think it's ever usually an issue, but it's just like you don't know when it's going to become an issue. Or what if I'm like, that person was so sweet and nice, so they're not an issue, but then this whole time they've been like plotting something against me, or they see every day they wake up and watch me out their window. I don't know. Scary.
I mean, have you ever found out that someone was like, had this one-sided beef with you and you didn't really ever think about them?
Right. Or say, yes, I have. Sometimes I'll hear stories too where someone will say it from, have you ever heard someone tell a story where they're like, well, I just had this like friend who like, they just like were so bad at texting me back. Like, they'll tell a story and you're like, oh, I'm definitely that person in that story. Like, obviously not in this specific story. And then you're like, oh, is a bunch of people mad at me? I didn't know that was a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
And now this person's saying it as if I should be like, ew, what a bitch. And I'm like, that's me though. Why do I always act like that?
No, seriously. Like, I'm going to therapy and working on like friendship style now. But like, there's so many things where like people get mad and I'm like, I do that. So I'm sorry. Yeah. But yeah,
I am the same way.
There's another reason for rage baiting. It's obfuscation.
Obfuscation.
Sorry, guys. We both read, but not like that.
Obfuscate.
Obfuscation.
Render obscure, unclear, or unintelligible.
Hmm. Okay. So the content we ingest shapes our worldview. Media is so powerful for shaping the public discourse and affecting large-scale cultural shifts and dynamics. Yes. So whenever someone says social media is not important, tell them they're an idiot. Building on the prior knowledge that if you get enough people angry enough, they'll act a certain way. Rage bait content is a powerful tool to create circumstances which can help political or social movements one way or the other. Yeah. So actually, rage bait is, when used properly, is important.
Because
then it could create movements. There's also trolls.
There are, right under the bridge, considered the most concerning reason, because it goes to people who want to just watch the world burn. It's people who are simply entertained by triggering people. They enjoy messing with people, even if it is harmful, whereas greed or hunger for power or desire to change the world around you to better suit your beliefs is least trackable. This one has less research about it and seems to be people who often don't have much social interaction in their daily lives, or even do and just get satisfaction out of seeing other people spiral out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says to feel better about themselves or just pure entertainment, playing with real people like it's a video game. I think that is so much of, and I don't want this to sound like an anti-cancellation speech because it's absolutely not. But I sometimes, and I feel like being in this space, I don't have friends who have been canceled. I have friends who have nothing to be canceled for and are so afraid of being canceled. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like when you're talking all the time in public, you're like, oh, I hope I like didn't say that wrong, or like it didn't sound like I was saying this. It's like scary to be on the internet.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, unless you did something really bad, like most people get through, like most, I guess, like a PR standpoint, if you were being truly canceled, they'd be like, don't say anything.
Yeah.
Most of the time. And I'm like, because most of the time people truly don't care about the cause that they're canceling someone over. They care about watching someone get canceled.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean that it shouldn't be happening. Like, if someone's done something really bad, they shouldn't have a platform, like 100%. But also, like, whether it's helpful or not, like 75% of those people, do they really care about the bad thing they did or the thing that was offensive they did, or are they coming back every hour to watch this person's life and career crumble? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like people are obsessed with doing that, which I think is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a huge, I feel like what mm-hmm. we've learned from canceling is how much people get excited to see someone downfall.
Yeah.
Have a downfall and be just totally, mm-hmm. their lives ruined. And so that's trolls. But I guess they were saying trolls is also a type of rage bait.
Yeah. I think there's like there's nuance to it. Some people are just genuine trolls. Some people are like rage baiting. It depends on your position. There's also some examples of rage bait. Like, we're going to take it way back. A 2006 article in Time magazine described how internet trolls post hurtful comments online with the sole purpose of provoking an argument, even on the most banal topics. A statement like, NASCAR is about as much a sport as cheerleading, in a car racing forum was cited as the prime example.
Thoughts?
I think NASCAR and cheerleading are both sports.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You could die in both of them.
Yeah, and I heard too. Well, obviously cheerleading is a sport. I also think it depends on the type of cheerleading, because I think cheerleading, unlike any sport, is so broad.
Yeah.
Where I guess now they're starting to maybe, I guess people would be like, well, no, there's the competitive cheer and there's the dance team.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what my high school cheerleading team was doing, I wouldn't really consider a sport. Except for the fact that at practices, they had to run like 8 miles. But I was like, they didn't need to do that to do what they did at the game. So that felt kind of unrelated.
Well, I think that's like the different like levels of cheer, you know, like you have like high school. But when I see any like cheerleading, like Navarro or whatever.
Insane.
Like the fact that like... Yeah, that's a sport.
I mean, I golfed and I would go, look, that's not really a sport.
You wouldn't consider that a sport?
Well, of course I consider it a sport.
Yeah.
Because I guess it is, technically speaking.
Yeah.
But I think some golfers would get really, like, defensive and be like, it's a sport. With all stuff like that, I'm just like, I don't care. Call it a sport or not. I'm playing it and getting a trophy, so who cares? But, like, I'm like, no. Like, you're not. You have to really work out your arms and your back. And also, I'm sure if someone's like a professional golfer, they'll be like, well, you were probably a bad golfer if you weren't working out all these. And I'm like, sure, maybe. I probably was. I was like a child golfer. But you're just not really doing a ton of like, I think a lot of it comes from outside of golf. Like you're really encouraged to work out a lot so that you're really strong. But when it comes to like playing the actual sport, you can be completely not in good shape, not very strong, and still play an okay game of golf.
Yeah.
If you have enough technique. But also, you're not running at all. I guess running shouldn't be an arbiter for what's a sport or not.
Yeah.
It's like there's no movement. Like you get on. And then when you get really, because, you know, in high school, they'd make us walk with our bags, which I was like, well, that makes it a sport because I'm having to walk from hole to hole with a bag.
Yeah.
But like, that's not golf. That's me walking with a weighted bag.
Yeah.
Which it's like, that's just exercise? Like, that's not really a sport. I guess it's a sport in the sense that there's points and it's competitive, but, like, so is Scrabble, so I don't really understand the difference between...
I would propose it like this. Competitive exertion. So exertion can be both physical and mental, because my brain went to esports and...
Or chess is a sport,
right? Yeah, and that's mental exertion.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it's a board game. And so also I thought about, like, in the Olympics, there's shooting. Where, like, you can be any range of, like, physicality, but it is a mental, like, you have to be good at it, you know? And that's a competitive exertion.
I think you're right. Yeah, no, I know you're right. That makes sense. Because I didn't even think about, I guess chess is, like, considered a sport.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because obviously you're not getting physically exerted. But golf is definitely, like, you have to do a lot of training to be very good at golf.
Yeah.
I think one reason I hated golfing was because I'd go out with my friends who were boys who didn't play golf, and they would, like, hit the ball so much farther than me.
Yeah.
That would make me really upset because I just was less strong than them, but I had so much more technique. But the difference was like they would shank all these shots and like do all, and I would not do that because I like technically knew how to play golf.
Yeah.
But I don't really know what I was. Oh, but in that sense, it takes a lot of technique, a lot of practice. And I'm sure if I went and played golf for a day, I would be really sore the next day. But I think you're right. But I do feel like NASCAR specifically.
Yeah.
Well, cheer 100%. That feels crazy. If you've watched Cheer, the show, that was definitely a sport. But I've heard that in NASCAR, it is takes so much strength to keep the car, like, steady.
Yeah.
Because you're going so fast.
Yeah.
That it, like, is, you have to be very strong, I've heard.
No, yeah. And there is, like, technique to it, whether you're on the inside, the outside, speed up. Like, the fact that the road has grip to it. Because, like, if there was no grip on the road. So you have to, like, account for so many different factors. And, I mean, yeah, it's a sport. You're not running, but your brain is actually like will be exhausted by the end of the day.
I think NASCAR, after watching Gran Turismo, I'm like, I feel like the only people who can be good at NASCAR, and this is a big statement, but here it comes. I assume no NASCAR fans are listening, to be honest.
There's three. There's
I feel like if you're really good at NASCAR racing, like a top racer,
yeah,
you are really unwell. Because I think that from what I saw in Gran Turismo, basically being good at, besides technique aside, to be really good at NASCAR racing, you pretty much have to be like, I don't give a fuck what happens to me. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to win this, even if I die.
Yeah.
Which is insane because it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Because I kept being like, would I be able to do it? Would I be able to do this? And every time I was like, well, if I just was able to fully get in the headspace of like, I don't care what happens to me or anyone around me, and I don't care about danger, and I'm just going to let myself go fully, then you win.
I absolutely hate to circle back to, like, this is why adrenaline junkies are the most contested in the addiction community type of addict.
Mm.
Because they are like, we just like extreme sports. It's like, no, if you get to the headspace where with racing, I don't care if I live or die. If you're free climbing, I don't care if I live or die. If you're surfing off the coast of Portugal and you literally know people who've died crashing into rocks and you're like, I still want this. There is some chemical imbalance in your head.
Right.
And you are addicted to the adrenaline.
Yeah.
So yeah, but they will argue, we're just sports. And it's like, there's something wrong with you, dude.
Because there's so many sports. Golf is very not dangerous, and you could do it. And it's a sport. Chess is very not dangerous. Yeah, it's really wild. When I was watching that movie, I was like, yeah, you have to be completely, and you see it all the time with, like, yeah, free climbers is another one.
Yeah.
Free climbers feels weird to me because I feel like they're kind of like, we're nature-y. We're all relaxed. I'm like, you're not. It's like, there is no reason, because you could do this, same exact sport, not free climbing.
Yeah.
You just want to add, and you could do it like as if you were free climbing.
Yeah.
But the only difference is you're like, no, because if I fall, I want to fucking die. Yeah. I'm like, that's insane.
You will die. If you're like, and yeah, there's the thing is with chess, so you're not feeling adrenaline. And that's why like the more extreme sports of like skateboarding and all that stuff, that's not extreme, but like, you know, dirt bikes, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
The X Games are scary. Those people are actually terrifying. But yeah. Impressive, I guess. But so yeah, that was an example of a rage bait, but we extended a real conversation about it.
In 2018, an Irish digital media company advertisement falsely claimed that 2/3 of people wanted Santa to strictly be either female or gender neutral. This caused a fury of articles and social media posts about the ad online, complaining about it, only giving it more attention. And I assume that was not a true statement.
Yeah, it's probably not. And also, like, that's just a classic setup. Not only is it about Christmas, it's about a man. Like, it's about God and lore. So you can't really change it.
How do people not have perspective? Like, how do they not look inward? Like, I think whenever there's a thing where, like, I always thought about this with, you know, with Ariel,
when she
was not white in the film.
Yeah.
People were so angry. And it's always like when if someone came to me and was like, Santa's going to now be a woman, I actually can't explain how little emotion I would have, because Santa is not real.
Don't do it. I don't.
If your kids are in the car, I'm so sorry. I would just have no emotion about that. I do not care. As similar with like the Mr. Potato Head thing, when it was like, oh, what was it? Now it's Mrs. Potato Head or something, or just potato. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Conservatives were so angry. And I'm like, how do you have no perspective where you're like, this thing that does not matter, I am so angry because it's not a white person now. How do you not look inward and go, interesting.
Yeah.
Like if someone was like, oh, they made Blue's Clues like transgender, and I was like, fuck, oh my God, what? And I was like posting, I'm like, how do you not look inward and be like, why do I care so much? Like, that's so crazy. Yeah. And these people are like, no, I'm not mad about that. I'm just mad because Blue's Clues is like, you know, an American icon, and he did so much for people around the world, and now, you know, he's being changed. And it's like, how do you not have any perspective? So I always think about that with stuff like this.
They want the status quo, and they cannot, any change like absolutely destroys them. So November 2018 National Review article decrying social justice warriors was cited as an example of rage baiting by Media Matters for America. The review article was in response to tweets criticizing the cartoon image used by the ABC's Twitter account to advertise a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving on November 21st, 2018. Franklin, Charlie Brown's only black friend, was sitting all alone on one side of Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving dinner table. Tons of unverified accounts called the image racist. Conservatives were so frustrated by the overly politically correct snowflake liberals who posted that they in turn responded in anger. Wait, Franklin was just sitting alone?
I saw this. It was a photo from like the Thanksgiving Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Like a screen grab from it. And it's like everybody is sitting on one side of the table. And then Franklin is on the other side of the table by himself. I mean, he's not by himself because he's at a table with people. But like they're all on one side and then he's alone on one side. And it feels weird because you're like, why is he? That's not a normal way to draw people sitting at a table. Like you would naturally draw equal people on either side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all white people and then Franklin on one side. And it was weird. And so I think they made, I don't remember if this happened, but I'm pretty sure they did an updated thing, which is why this sparked outrage, where they like invited Franklin to sit on their side of the table or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but they did something and people were very upset by that.
Yeah.
Which is always so interesting because even if the artist who did Charlie Brown like was my friend and was like, seriously, did not mean to. That was a total fuck up. Like I was not thinking about that at all. Like I absolutely would have never purposely done that. Why would you be upset to be like, if I was his friend, I would be like, oh my God, like, don't worry too much. Just like fix it. Like make another one where they don't do that. And maybe that'll feel like a nice thing to do to make up for it. And it's like, what is wrong with that? Even if you didn't intend, which I feels like they did, because I don't know how this would be drawn this way either way. But it's like, what is the issue of like, oh, this person, it's like you would treat anybody. Like if someone's like, oh, that hurt my feelings. Even if you're like, well, that wasn't what I meant to do. And that wasn't what it was supposed to be. And you're so sensitive. It's like, any therapist would tell you that's a really toxic way to respond.
Yeah.
So you should just like try to make the person feel a little better.
Yeah. If you feel yourself getting, besides things that are like objectively horrible, if you find yourself getting enraged by a cartoon that's not a political cartoon, I guess everything's technically political, but like it's not meant to be. Maybe have like more of a chill, like again with the black eyes thing. If you find yourself on black eyes, relax for a second and be like, if I overreact, this may make it worse.
Right, because why do you care if are you watching the updated Charlie Brown movie?
Yeah.
I mean, you should. It sounds like it is really great. But I'm like, why do you care? It's just so wild to me to have no perspective on that.
Yeah, but also if you did care, I would assume that, oh, maybe they didn't realize. I would write in and be like, hey, dude, did you notice this? It may like, and then so the artist or the publisher would be like, oh, I didn't. Let me fix that. Or if they were in part, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So just how to spot some rage bait in the wild. Look out for all caps. It's often an outrageous statement followed by something like, right? Or don't you agree with me? Anything that prompts a response, anything with a whole lot of question marks, be careful. If a headline makes you immediately feel danger or suddenly very emotional, if you feel a spike of anxiety, the thing is with that though, is some things are genuinely upsetting.
Yeah.
So just more of like, know yourself. Am I getting triggered or is this actually, you know, a bad world event? Yeah, and then it's also more frequent with people who have, it's sometimes to tell with rage bait. You just need to, like, you know, look into rage bait. Look at all the classic examples, and you'll start to get the gist of it.
It's so wild because there's so many politicians who, like, not politicians, I'm sorry, like, political entertainers, I guess.
Yeah.
That their whole career is just rage bait. It's like Pearl is not
saying anything.
I mean, what is this? Is just a random person. Like, literally, it does not matter what she says. And she has a full career. And I'm like, does anyone agree with her? I don't even know, to be honest. I'm like, even the most conservative person I know would probably be like, she's annoying, you know? And it's like, if you're that sexist, if you're as sexist as Pearl is, you're not listening to Pearl talk. You know what I mean? I'm like, who's agreeing with this person? And even like Candace
Owens,
back on Candace Owens, girl crush. I'm like, she has a career from also rage bait. It's like she, because even the way she words stuff, it's like there are conservative people who agree with every single thing Candace Owens says, but they word it in a more boring way. Mm-hmm. There's like a reason she will just be like, Yeah, the like white people are great. And it's like, why would you say that? You know what I mean? Like, or like, what did she say? She's like, I wish I could live in the 1960s. Stuff that it's like, that's not even politically makes sense. Like, why are you saying that? Like, that's not even about anything political except just you knowing that's going to make people upset. You know what I mean? And be like, that doesn't make sense. Why would you say that? Or just starting a sentence being like, if you get an abortion, you're the worst person on planet Earth. It's like, that's such an unhelpful statement to make. And no, even people who believe that are not saying that like she does. So she's just like, just rage bait.
Yes. So if you're in a grad student or in medical school training to be a psychiatrist, therapist, psychologist, can you do something on rage bait and histrionic personality disorder? Because attention by any means necessary, especially offensive attention, there has to be something there.
Well, because you know we found out Tommy Lauren
is actually pro-choice.
Yeah, is pro-choice. And I mean, like, if she's pro-choice, what else? I mean, she must.
What else is there?
Because pro-choice is like the thing that sometimes people will be like, well, I'm like I agree in like gay rights and I agree with all this, but like I just can't be pro-choice. Like that feels like the one that all people cling to. Oh. So I'm like, if Tommy Lauren's pro-choice, she must just be liberal.
The thing that was most illuminating about Tommy Lauren's pro-choice thing is usually when you see like white feminism or something like that, you know it's like I'm the victim. But Tommy Lauren was talking about other people's right to choose. And I was like, wait a minute, this is actually throwing me off. Because normally you'd be like, I can do what I want with my body. Yeah. And then you're like, okay. But she was like and I was like, you're defending other people.
Fascinating. I have so many questions for her. If I could get her on the pod, I would. Because I'm like, because I also, my part of me for a long time was like, Tommy Lauren, there is a total world where she just like needs attention or just like wants a good career.
Yeah.
And she like doesn't really care about politics. So then she's like, well, this is kind of working for me, so I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
And if she did that forever, I would have maybe had suspicions of that, but wouldn't have really cared. But I'm like, she chose to come out as pro-choice, which feels bizarre.
What was
the plan?
I think the people that she surrounded herself with were so genuinely repulsive that she was like, I gotta change.
Wow.
Usually.
That's hot.
Yes.
And she is.
But let us know how you feel about the rage bait in a calm, balanced manner.
Yeah, should we try to rage bait at the very end to get some comments?
And also psychologists, please get back to me. But yeah, we are the BCC Club, guys.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Make sure to like and comment, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts, make sure to rate and review 5 stars. Five stars all around.
5 stars.
And have a wonderful Wednesday.
Yeah, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode is sponsored by Lash Paradise Mascara from L'Oreal Paris. I am not a person who ever wears makeup. If you watch the podcast, you can tell I do not wear makeup. I like to keep my morning routine as simple as possible, but every single day I always wear mascara, truly every single day. And so I really need my mascara to do a lot of the heavy lifting on making me look put together. And that's why I love Lash Paradise. It gives so much volume and length. It's perfect for a done up eye look, but also just like me, you can wear it just for a casual day to the podcast recording studio. The intense volume and length of Lash Paradise gives you luxe level lashes. And the fluffy bristle brush gives you fuller looking lashes instantly. I'm absolutely obsessed with it. I think it looks so good. You can drop your falsies. I wore false eyelashes twice in my life, and it was the worst thing I've ever done. So I'm always looking for an alternative. Lash Paradise Mascara gives you all the drama for your lashes that you could ever want. Order Lash Paradise now on Amazon. Finding a doctor is truly the hardest thing on planet Earth, which is so unfortunate because when you're feeling really sick, the last thing you want to do is talk to an old man who has no idea what you're going through and doesn't understand anything about medical stuff or science and just tells you to drink more water. That is just the worst feeling ever. And that's why I use ZocDoc. If you listen to this podcast, you know I'm obsessed with ZocDoc. It's the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Go to ZocDoc.com/BCC and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/BCC. ZocDoc.com/BCC.
Did you guys know there are butterflies that drink blood?
Or that there's a species of beetle that can shoot boiling liquid out of its butt?
Or that blue whales are so big you can swim through their arteries?
But there's a species of bat that's so small that it weighs less than a penny.
My name's Maya.
And my name's Connor.
And we are the co-hosts of World's Wildest Podcast. If you guys love nature and you love learning about how crazy it is, Connor and I have over 30 years of experience in wildlife conservation, and we're here to tell you all about them. World's Wildest will take you on a journey to meet Earth's most extreme creatures, from the world's strongest to our world's smelliest.
Make sure to subscribe for new episodes every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.